All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, I have learned, and I think everybody knows this a little bit, that the human body is capable of amazing things when crises are about, right? You have the mom who lifts the car off of
Sure.
their off you know, off of their kid. Yeah, you know, it's just stuff like that. So
Pretty much just that one.
yeah, just that
Like,
one, or like
just, yeah.
the like or like the little kid who is able to like push a push somebody out of the way from a car.
Or into the way of a car,
Right,
in
you
the
know,
case
they
of a heavy villain,
right.
you know.
So things like that. So I want to make this I want to re replicate that and see where it goes, okay?
Okay, so
So
are you going to subject me to stress and then see if I push someone into a car or out of a car?
no, it needs to be so I'm kind of racing the two of us. Also, it needs to be somebody that I really care about. So behind this curtain, here's Brayton tied up to a pyre.
Hey,
Oh my boy.
what's this all about, guys?
Yeah, so I didn't tell you. I'm gonna light that bonfire beneath you, and then we're gonna see which one of us is able to rip you off.
I feel like this might backfire on you, Cole, as
Oh.
somebody who is giving me super strength but also endangered my buddy. Like, how do you know that my super strength is not going to be ripping your stupid beard from your face? And not saving Brayden just out of pure revenge rage,
I
as the kind
mean,
you can hear evidenced in my voice.
I deserve that because I joked about not caring about you. But I'm just
And joked
gonna
about hurting Brayden.
Oh no, I'm deadly serious, as we can tell by me. I'm gonna light this fuse, and it's gonna go up and set off the charges here. So here we go.
I'm really searching my brain for how this is going to lead to a game, and not just violence against Brayden.
I'm a little nervous about this. It is getting kind of warm.
Tick tock,
Brayden, do you
tick
think
tock.
that this might actually, just to give you agency in this situation, might activate any latent abilities you have?
Well, I'm really trying very hard to get myself worked up to pee to try to put out some of this fire, but I've never been good at that. Like,
You're going to try to make, aka, the bloody pour, which is what I
you know,
assume
we can
happens.
call it bloody.
Well, there's a little bit of red there.
I mean,
Like,
yeah,
it's.
everybody's
I mean, if it's
got
is it more or less worrisome if it's blood?
that.
I mean,
Well, right now I'll take anything I can get that's
yeah.
wet.
I really kind of was hoping I would get like worked up or something about this.
At this point, it's just, yeah, it's too confusing and out of character for me to get that upset. But
Yeah,
I think that there's still hope for Brayden to pee.
I
think
think
we just all have Midwestern niceness where we're just like, I don't want to ruin this nice trap that you made for us,
yeah,
Cole.
this jigsaw-esque.
Let's all team up and pee and see whose is the bloodiest.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Zip.
All right. And also zip. Oh, that's a real strain noise. That sounds like you got a front runner in the blood bowl.
You know what? I think we're gonna need a little bit more piss power. I'm gonna have to use the ancient technique of my people.
Oh no, you just drank a bunch of weird liquid chili.
Yep, and now I'm a horse. I'm a horse
Chili horse,
man.
go pee.
Chili
Oh,
horse, here
could
we
you?
go.
Chili horse.
Chili horse makes blood pee.
Oh.
Go.
There, and he's saved.
He's
Yay.
made the
The
bloody
fire's
pour.
died. The
Let's
fire.
put that into the game computer.
Of the
This
bloody
smells
poor.
terrible.
It's pretty gross for everyone involved, including you, but especially Cole.
The bad thing is I can't change back without surgery.
Yeah,
Oh.
it's gonna be a ship of Theseus kind of thing, where we just kind of slowly reconstruct you out of non-horse parts.
So, can one of you guys untie me? I assume Gary, because you have hands and Cole has hooves now.
I'm
It's
gonna
true.
clop once for no.
Okay. Okay, let me go. Now transform the ropes into being untied.
Oh, thank you.
And now let's put the let me go over to the horse computer here and put in bloody poor, comma urine edition, and see. And bloody roar fury edition. It kind of sounds the same. And also, when Cole drank chili, it turned him into a chili horse. There he goes. He lost the ability to talk, but
So
it's
do you
okay.
want to
We
just do this episode then, Gary?
Yeah, me and you can handle it, and then just Chili Horse can sit there and make chili farting noises as appropriate. And whenever we need to refill him, he does three clomps, and then we fill him up to the brim with hot Midwestern chili, and then he makes the sounds that we all crave.
Yeah, and if he's a real sweet boy, we're turning it into Chili Mac.
Yeah, we're turning it into Chili Mac tonight, the non-racist edition, and then we'll give him surgery to turn him into a half moon, half person.
Yeah, half moon, half horse person.
Zelda, half moon, half horse edition. Yes. And then we will, fuck. Chili Horse and Brayton. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Brayton Cameron, I guess.
And I'm right. Chili Horse.
So Chili Horse, aka, yeah. AKA the Chili Beetlejuice. When you say Chili Horse three times, Chili comes according.
Yeah, I went through the extensive surgeries, mostly on the head area, so I have my voice back, but I still do have a Chili Horse body.
Did you just rub some peanut butter inside your own mouth?
Yep.
You're like a partial
centaur. Of course.
Yeah. Like just a horse with just a human head.
a reverse centaur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not quite a reverse centaur.
No, I realize that's kind that's of a Bojack thing. That, yeah, that would be the thing.
Bojack Chili
Horse. Yeah, Bojack Chili Horse.
Yeah. Jack Cheese Chili
Horse. Pepper Jack Chili Horse, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Pepper Jack Chili Horse is a good name.
Yeah. That's definitely a racing horse name.
I'm a Western assassin.
Yeah, Western assassin, aka the Pepperjack Chili Horse, aka Bloody War Primal Fury Extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about the PlayStation/arcade fighting game where you turn into animals to fight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, everyone is a zoanthrope, a zoanthrope.
Well, a zoetrope? Yes.
Yeah, everyone. If you go down to the boardwalk, you can get a Bloody War zoetrope.
Mm.
It's a very niche market.
You pay a nickel. And Brayden, you got to choose this episode because you donated to Duckstream this past year.
I did, and it was fun, and it's like my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not everybody who donated gets to come on. It's really just because you're a host on the network and you asked very nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and out of everyone I know, you are the Bloody Roar expert.
The bloodiest of roars.
That's what I call you.
Yeah.
You are the Bloody Roar.
Is Roars getting confused that we keep saying Roar? And like
I have been calling him Buddy Roars since we started in this game. I hate Buddy Roars, and then explaining Buddy Roar things to him.
Yeah.
He speaking of beast mode, the other day, Roars. You know how cats like they like being petted and they're real sweet, but then every once in a while they just kind of like a switch flips and they're like, "Ah, I'm fucking mad," and then they bite you.
Yeah.
He gave me a couple of real good bites, and that has happened before, but it's been, God, like 7 years or something.
Oh, geez.
It's been a really long time since he like bit me, and I was just like, man, you know, and I was really surprised by how like actually betrayed I felt.
Yeah.
Aww.
And just maybe, like, oh, buddy.
Maybe, you know, he bruised himself and he just happened to tap that bruise.
I think that it's actually he wanted to play. He had brought he has this duck that he hates that's on a string that's attached to a stick.
Okay.
And he brought his duck over, but I was like in bed. It wasn't duck time. So it was at least a time for Chili Duck Horse. So I was just in bed. I didn't play with him. I think that's why he got so mad.
Mm, he felt rejected.
Yeah. And he was just like, if you're not going to play this way, like I'm going to play this way. And by which I mean like wrestle your arm like it's an independent entity.
Yes.
You know, like it's Golbez's arm.
Yeah. So great. Brayton, give me some of your Bloody Roar history.
Okay, so here's the basic plot. The Tyron, like Cybertech Corporation, has discovered that there are people in the world that are zoanthropes or zoanthropes, and they can turn into some sort of manimal. And they've been kidnapping them in order to use them for like military purposes, you know, because who wouldn't want like a gorilla man to like, you know, it's funny to me that it's like, that's a thing. Cause like they still can get shot. Like, and they can't use like the gorilla man can't use a gun.
Right.
No, he just gets the powers of a gorilla that you haven't taught to shoot.
Yeah. So, so the story has been established, and the characters themselves are either fighting against the Tylon or Tyron Corporation, or they're fighting with them, or they're somewhere in the middle, barely associated. So, yeah, all shades of gray, really.
Yeah, yeah. Everything rotates around this particular amoral corporation.
Yeah, and each of the characters, like the big, you know, the selling point on this game, you know, the hook is that everyone turns into, you know, a beast person, and it's a different kind of beast person depending on the character. So you have a wolf man and a lion man and a wild sow lady. lady.
Obviously, like the wild sow lady is the one that I played. I picked Mitsuku the boar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because she looked badass.
She's great. I really love her her Wikipedia entry, though. If I may read it, is Mitsuko is a wild sow zoanthrope and everyday housewife with a massive body and generous nature.
Massive body and generous. What?
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody doesn't pick like Abe Lincoln. Like the guy with the big shitty beard.
Yeah, Gregory.
Yeah, I think that's by far the funniest and worst design of all of these guys as a human.
Yeah, well, and it's great because like he's just like he leads a circus, so he's like a circus strongman, and he just he's got like the big tights with like what is the word I'm looking for, like suspenders, and he has a top hat. I don't know why
he's kind of rocking like a bit of a Zangief kind of look, but of Zangief's costume is less short shorts and more lederhosen.
Just if Zangief got promoted at the circus he works at, like, he starts off wrestling bears, but then he manages the people who wrestle bears.
He moves to bear acquisition.
He wrestles the bears but tames the elephants,
right?
On the side.
There's a scale.
So my favorite, my personal favorite character was Fox, whose real name I just found out. I didn't even know this. His real name was Hans Taubman, who's apparently an English fox.
How the hunted had become the hunter.
Yeah.
Hans Taubman, the Englishman.
It's just his father was, his parents were very big fans of German names.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And changed their last name to match.
Hans is definitely probably the most extreme version of a Bishonen fuckboy I've ever seen. Just looking at it, Hans is very, very androgynous to the point where he definitely has like the high stocking short shorts kind of thing going on, like a lot of upper thigh action going on with Hans here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like that stereotype that you see occasionally in like anime or in other video games where it's like the character that lives only for beauty and always ends up being kind of an androgynous and defeat and
Or like a Vega from Street Fighter.
Did you just call him androgynous in defeat?
No,
like as opposed to like graceful in defeat.
No. Yeah,
because I mean they're both correct. He's androgynous in defeat.
I get dunked on and I just pull out some lipstick.
It's like I have been androgynous in defeat, and then like eyeshadow. Cool. I don't we played this during Duck Stream.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, speaking of your Duck Stream donations, you kind of got a twofer on this bad boy.
Yeah, I did. I'm having a blast with this. I got to tell the world about Bloody Roars.
I hadn't played this. I always thought that I had, but I always get it confused with Killer Instinct and Dinosaur.
Primal Rage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they all loop together in my, like, the post Street Fighter fighters. That came out that was like beyond, like I was into fighting games during Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat days. And then I quit being into fighting games up until like Smash Brothers, like later Smash Brothers.
Right. Yeah, this is when, yeah, like the worst of the fighting games probably came out, I would think.
Oh,
like
1000%. Killer Instinct is one of the ugliest games I've ever seen in my life. Like that's incredibly ugly.
Yeah. And if you look at the modern one too, like that ugliness isn't just like from the Rare style 3D / 2D sprite kind of thing. No, the designs that they decided to put front and center are pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I don't
like Goldor.
I don't think that these characters, when they're people, look good either. They look fine as monsters though.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when they turn into beast, I think they're kind of good models, but as people, they all look pretty rough to me.
Yeah. I think the polygons are pretty bad in this.
They're not as, they're not as, let's say, artfully composed as like a Tekken character or like a Soul Blade character compared to the same generation, right?
Soul Blade is my gold standard for this kind of thing in general.
Right.
Like a 3D fighter where it's like essentially 2D, but you can sidestep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like the shifting plane fighters. So the Soul Calibur games are my favorite ones of those.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think.
I enjoy the control scheme of this as well, which is the four buttons that you have. You know, your four main buttons are a punch, kick, block, and beast.
Yep. Well, the beast part of it is like obviously the hook. It's interesting like playing this again and kind of looking at it where it's like it's not that different than like Super Meters,
right?
It's just visually way cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because in a Street Fighter, you know, like you might fill up your Super Meter and then turn into like I'm Dudley but better,
right?
You know, and here like you actually turn, you transform, and I you know, that's the obviously the cool part of it,
right?
You know,
And I think as far as balance issues go, like it really lends towards if you can get an early advantage, you pretty much keep it. Because if you can finish a match and be in beast mode, you start the next match in beast mode.
Yeah.
You know,
that's legitimate. Like, I would like, you know, not try. I know that this is probably your all time favorite game and maybe even your all time favorite piece of media at all. But I don't want to shit on it. But that ended up actually being a bummer to me. Like, I don't like rich stay richer mechanics in video games. Like, I think that. Yeah. You know, getting an advantage and then keep like it feels like the Settlers of Catan of fighting games, where like that's my problem with Catan too, is where like you get that early advantage and it just colors the rest of the experience.
Yeah.
You know, there's no evening of the odds at any point. I like my blue shells.
Yeah. For anybody listening, this game is way less complex than Settlers of Catan.
I think that's arguable. I feel like there's a lot of, I mean, I kept buying wheat, but the price kept going down and just.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to go mash the beast button until the other person dies. Like, that's how you play this game.
Mash the buy wood button.
Yeah. Why is everybody turning into sheep?
Yeah. Bloody Catan. It is a very simple. The other thing, too, when I say this is your favorite game of all time, for people who missed Duckstream, you fucking dominated at this. It was pretty incredible.
This is like it. I'm not very good at video games, as I tell everyone, and then everyone disagrees. But my standard that I played against was my friend Marty, who was always better at almost every game. And this is the one game I could consistently beat Marty at. And and it just is like the one game that, you know, I didn't purposefully, you know, be like, oh, we should just play Bloody Roar because it's the only thing I win at. But it was it's a natural, like, for some reason, I just connected with this game.
Yeah. I had a lot of
lycanthropy.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just both in, you know, your constitution and your fascinations.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I prefer the term zoanthro.
Good use of the lingo. That was a test.
Yeah. There we go.
I'm from the corporation or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit like in Monster of My Podcast when we had all those lycanthropes that were not wolves.
Yeah.
Lycanthrope. Where rabbit? What?
Yeah, this is like a lycanthrope city.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun with this just because it had been a while since I played a game of this kind. And like, I think I was expecting something a little bit closer to what is it? Iron and Blood or whatever it was, which is a not a very good version of this kind of 3D fighter.
I don't actually care if you badmouth Iron and Blood.
This felt like it flowed more to me. Like, I felt like I kind of understood it.
Yeah, it is 1,000 times better as a fighting game.
Yes.
Than Iron and Blood. I think that Iron and Blood's terrible. But the thing about this, I think this goes in, one of the reasons why Livy Roar doesn't resonate with me that much, as I've never been a lycanthrope guy.
Mm-hmm.
So like theming, you know, always bother, you know, matters to me a lot.
No.
And like just turning into an animal never seems cool to me. Turning into a monster, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like literally, like I'm going to turn into a Godzilla or something that doesn't exist. Very cool. Turning into an animal, yeah. Like less cool to me.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what that is. Like it, druids, you know, in
yeah.
tabletop things like that. I just never think turning into an animal is very good.
Well, what but did you think about? Did you make it to Yuriko, the final boss?
No. I watched a playthrough of it, and I watched like the evolution thing that shows how the games changed as they went
yeah.
on.
Okay. Because yeah, Yuriko is the final boss, which is referred to as a were chimera.
Which is really great. Like turns into the mixed grill
yeah.
Of animal lycanthropes. Lycanthrope mixed grill.
Yeah, Yuriko's hard to explain like visually because it's like half like skinless demon goat bull lady.
Makes sense so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. No, that's it. I mean, I don't know. The other half is I don't know. Confusing.
Here's a conundrum for you. Mm-hmm. Let's say you could get these powers. You could become a lycanthrope.
Yeah.
Brighton Camper. Would you do that if it meant that when you became the thing you lost your skin like the emboss of this did?
Oh god, so I would be like an inside out boy version
of any animal you want.
Good inside out boy reference.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just, you know, I went every time in order for me to change I have to go over the bars.
Oh yeah.
And reference
when I'm on that. I mean, chances are I wouldn't want to teen wolf it. I'd probably want to be in the dark anyway, so I think I'd go for it, sure. You know, I'm not looking to date the, you know, the lead cheerleader or whatever of my high school, so I think you know, I'd stick in the shadows and then eat people on the sly as opposed to doing it out in the open.
But you are going to want to ride around on top of that van, and those bugs are going to get like mashed into your meat.
Yeah, I mean that's a real consideration. But like we're living in a world where like rain jacket technology I think is pretty far advanced.
Mm,
so yeah. Like, you know, I can cover it up like I'm a Ninja Turtle.
Oh yeah, wear the trench coat and the hat.
Yeah,
to cover up just your anywhere, skinless nature.
I just can't stand any place too often because I feel like it would leave a puddle of goo of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to carry a courtesy towel around a lot if you sat down somewhere.
It's mm-hmm. a nudist reverse colony. Raincoat.
Yep.
Yeah, to keep the rain from within from going without.
The rains within.
So I'm talking about sewing a raincoat inside a raincoat.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's a lot of work, but I'd go for it. How about what do you guys feel?
Yeah, Cole, how about you? Same question.
No, because that sounds like a nightmare. Like, it's
really curt. Probably pretty good answer for that.
No, I think skin's pretty good. It keeps you from being infected. Huh? Keeps your insides on the end. I don't think I would do that. and honestly, I'd prefer not to be cursed with this because, like, yeah, in the game, they are shown as being completely in control of it. Like, nobody just randomly explodes and becomes a monster, in this. Mm-hmm. That's not guaranteed to be the case. Like, these are fighters at the peak of their game, and that, you know, me, I have no discipline whatsoever. Like, I'd just be standing in line at Meijer or something, and then boom, all of a sudden I'm a bloody skinless monstrosity.
Yeah, you just got a little grumpy because the person in front of you is using too many coupons.
And the thing about being skinless is it really evens the playing field. Like, no matter what monster you are, you kind of come off the same way, you know.
Yeah,
like a skinless wolf and a skinless bear, you know, they're different, but they're not that different.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm more like focused on the skinless part than the wolf or bear part.
Yeah. But there are a lot of advantages to being the actual animal that you'd be giving up.
Right.
Such as
being a service animal, having a job with purpose.
Oh shit. Yeah, you're right.
You turn to a skinless service dog.
Fuck. Gary,
that's
not fair. You intentionally did service animal violence to me by throwing that back in my face.
Yeah, Cole hates service animals. Yeah. That's the takeaway here is he thinks service dogs should die.
Yeah.
Be strangled with their puppies and service horses should be made into glue that is then thrown away.
Yeah.
That's the core.
As long as they're chili horses.
I turned that horse into chili.
Turn into chili glue.
Got some spicy glue for you coming in.
Yeah.
Five alarm. Drink this five alarm glue.
Yeah. All right. So, Gary, what is your opinion on that? And then I have a follow up question.
Okay. Here's my opinion, and this is it's that I would do it, but I would choose an avian creature. So I'm not touching things. I mean, there might be bugs. You know, wind resistance probably doesn't feel great if you don't have skin. Right. But I would just use it for like short flights.
Yeah, I think there's a bat in the second game.
Yeah, like I don't want to be like a man bat, like the Batman bad villain.
Right.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
The thing is, though, most of the stuff that would give you the ability to fly on a bat would be the skin, like, you know, like those wings are skin and fur and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And on birds, like, what are the feathers going to like stick in? Like, the feathers are a big deal on a bird. So like you would turn into a bird, but then you just kind of like flop around in a puddle until you expire. Until
like you dehydrate. Penguin. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can swim fast, but you attract sharks.
You'd have just a huge trail of sharks, which might be useful. Like, you could tempt a lot of sharks to come to your party or whatever. But like,
turn me into a shark. There you go.
Yeah. Take me to sharkparty.com. /chili. I guess it is kind of a rough choice. Maybe a bug. Yeah. Bugs don't seem like they need, because their skin is on the inside because they have exoskeletons.
Yeah, right?
Okay. That's a technicality. I was going to say, if their skin is technically considered to be their chitin or whatever, that's their only support thing. Again, boom, you're a puddle.
But bugs don't have skin. They have chitin and exoskeletons. Therefore, I turn into a butterfly. Is a butterfly's wing skin? I wouldn't call a butterfly wing skin. You know?
Well, you know, we're just going to need to get an entomologist in here to find out for sure.
Get the staff and the duck feed staff entomologist to answer this polymorph question.
Okay, so here's the thing. You said shark party, and I went to a domain register and put in shark.party.
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty much every one word dot party is taken because it's only make an offer. There's shark.online for $1,400.
Money well spent.
The number one suggestion at the normal price for $13 though is whalehustler.com.
I like that a lot. I've been looking for a good domain for my whale selling that I've been doing.
There's whalecrook.com.
My arch nemesis.
I don't want to go through this, but one more thing. Shark.dentist make a lot of money. They got a lot
that's
of
really
teeth.
Good.
Yeah,
Shark Dentist. Really, yeah. I mean, that's up there with like Gator Dentist, that great game.
Oh shit. Mm-hmm. You ever see the images of those where somebody took out all the top teeth and replaced them with thumbtacks?
Oh god.
Mm. Yeah.
That's mean. All right, Gary and then Cole, same, you'll have a similar question, but if I could, 7 marry 3.
Some people you would 7, some others you'd marry, but I need to know who you 7, marry, 3. Yeah.
Alice, Mitsuko, or Greg?
I have to look at these guys too. Here.
Yeah,
I have to pull Alice, just for the audience as well, because we can't assume absolute bloody roar familiarity from the audience.
Oh, that seems madness. Okay, so Alice is the schoolgirl slash rabbit. Mitsuko is the housewife slash boar wild sow.
Right.
And Greg is the circus man slash gorilla
slash Lincoln.
One of the things I did like about the character, like, it's just that they changed colors if you press different buttons when you were selecting them. So you would end up with like a blue lion, which didn't make any sense, but I loved it. Like, yeah, pilots want that lion.
All right, Gary, why don't you go first?
I definitely fuck the rabbit.
No, it's 7 marry 3. Come on.
Oh, okay. I just changed the subject. So assuming the rabbit is of age, I would definitely 7 the rabbit. That doesn't mean that 7 means fuck. Lots of things you have to be to 18. Like, I might loan her a carpet shampoo or something.
All right.
So I'd 7 the rabbit. I would marry Greg, I think. Strong, stable. Again, marry doesn't mean marry, but it does mean something that you need to be strong and stable, stable for. And then I would think I would 3 the housewife boar lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely got a 7 Mitsuko.
Okay.
I think, like I said, she was my go-to character. She's got kind of a Rosie the Riveter vibe to her,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really, really the way you want to go. Mary.
When you're seven. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Mary would have to be Alice. I mean, no question.
Okay.
You know, she's got the, you know, she has one of those short little coats that I think is really snappy. Yeah. And Mary for there. And then three would have to be Greg. I think that hat counts against him. I'm going mostly on fashion on this one because I just don't know enough about their personalities.
They don't have a whole lot to that. Brayden, I'm going to flip the script before you answer.
Okay.
Instead of seven Mary threeing, Bone Thugs and Harmony them.
Hey man, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
I think Greg is the thug. I'm gonna thug Greg. I definitely want the harmony with Mitsuko, and then I think I just I have to bone Alice. That's just the way it is, you know. I think those are my choices on that selection there.
Not bad.
Yeah. So, can we? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cole.
No, please go ahead. I was just gonna do a dumb thing.
I was just gonna ask if we could talk about the endings. Did you watch the endings of these?
Oh, absolutely.
Of the characters and how they talk about a story that doesn't exist in the game.
Fighting game endings are really good. I would watch like a 2-hour, like a feature length supercut in the theater of like every fighting game's ending reels like this.
Yeah, and I love that it's one. It's played over this like sad, soulful like rock guitar solo, which, considering like depending on what ending it is, like changes the mood between like it being kind of like again sad, like someone's like reminiscing, or like sexy. like there's a little bit of like sexy, like I'm gonna take my clothes off now, like vibe to it, like a silk stockings.
Yeah. I'll put in a snippet here. It definitely sounds like closing time at a pool bar.
Yeah. And it restarts at odd points.
Yeah.
Because part of it's you're watching a compilation of the endings, but that doesn't mean that it starts when new endings start always.
Yeah.
Sometimes they cut in the middle and just kind of comes back again. Yeah. Very funny.
And I don't know if this happens a lot. I haven't watched a ton of endings for video games, but I love that Bakugaryu, the mole guy, his ending actually involves him just dying. Like, it's the only ending where you lose.
Oh, is he the one who's reduced to a puddle of goo?
Yeah.
I love that.
Really great.
You're like, oh, congratulations for defeating everyone. You're goo now.
Well, I mean, that's like the best way to be disposed of as a human, too. You know, that process where you get reduced to oil.
Yeah, soup is good food.
Was it? God, it was yesterday. I was talking about it with was it yesterday? I can't remember what I was talking about. Oh, I was talking about it with Will on another podcast. So I won't go into it too much. But isn't it weird that like when you eat soup, out of all the things you can eat, it is the least transformative. So like you have a bowl of soup in front of you and then you like eat it and kind of slurp it. And some parts you chew, but most of you don't. And then you just walk around with more or less untouched soup in your stomach. You know, the food just goes into your stomach without being transformed in the way that like most food does.
Are you swallowing your noodles whole?
Well, I mean, like, there's lots of soups that don't have noodles, Cole.
Okay. True.
Yeah. I think the best example is tomato soup, where you're just more or less pouring it right down your throat.
Tomato soup is a really good example of this, where it's like literally just like this soup was outside of me. Now the soup is inside of me with very little change.
For sure. Although sometimes, I mean, you're a real jabroni if you're not mixing up your tomato soup with some toasted cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Sure.
Throwing
I mean, there's some Dunkin' going bread. There, but yeah. So maybe you're getting a few crumbs.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
You're not chewing those crumbs.
Yeah. Like, so soup, like that kind of soup, tomato soup is basically just a beverage.
Yes. Yeah. I guess that's the point. And it's not weird to me that like I drink a Diet Coke and then walk around with a bunch of Diet Coke in my belly. It is weird to me that I sit down to eat a meal and then walk around with that meal just floating in me disturbed.
There's like temporarily a pouch for basically pristine soup. Like somebody could come up, open you with a letter opener. And then just like eat the soup out of your belly.
Like you could be a Capri soup.
Oh yeah.
Like you could be my large strong Capri Sun. my offspring that I put soup into when I need it for later.
Oh, yeah. So like just tap you like a maple tree, and then out comes tomato soup.
Yeah, this soup is it's type AB negative, so I'm compatible with it. And in case I need a side of kidney to get a transplant, I could do it from my large Capri Sun.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like Peter Thiel has a blood boy, you have a soup boy.
Yeah. Did you notice that this game used to be called Beasterizer?
Yes, I did. In America.
Doesn't that sound like something you apply to your face?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's scarier.
Yeah, it's around Halloween. I apply a liberal dose of Beasterizer.
Yeah. Put down a foundation, then some Beasterizer.
Yeah.
I just don't feel human unless I have my Beasterizer on, which I realize is ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't feel like a monster.
Yeah. So. I'm too nice normally. I have too nice a face.
Oh man, this is a ridiculous game. I've had a bit of a wild hair to play some fighting games. Here's my shameful admission: I got that new Dragon Ball fighting game.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun.
I think it looks really cool. Like, and by that I mean like visually, it looks just like the cartoon, which is amazing to me that we're getting to that point where, like, it's almost indistinguishable.
You know? Right, just the shader and stuff. I just realized like that was coming out, and I was like, oh. I pretty much just inflict violence on Gary and on Jeremy by just describing things that happened in Dragon Ball that I remember from middle school. I was like, I might actually just have genuine affection for this dumb thing. So
yeah. You gotta get more updated Dragon Ball things for me and Jeremy to ignore.
Yes. So for you guys to check your mail.
Yeah. So for me to open up a Twitter window while Cole's going on about his nonsense vegetable people fighting. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like named after a food of some sort, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's generally the Dragon Ball steez. It's that, and they like granting wishes.
Oh,
yeah. Well, who doesn't like to grant a wish now and again?
You know, it's just the best thing you can be is helpful, you know?
Yeah.
And they're trying to help themselves, though. And there's alien androids.
They use their wishes to, like, bring back the entire population of Earth and stuff
like
that.
I thought it was, because he doesn't set out to do that, right? Or is that the initial quest?
They do a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he went to go, he's just wanted, like, a better tasting tortilla chip, but then he accidentally destroyed the Earth and was like, well, I guess I have to wish for this now.
Oh, let's call him Mulligan.
Yeah, let's get a better cloud to float around on.
Yeah. I wish my staff could get longer.
I wish I didn't have a tail so I could be truly.
I mean, let's truly be honest. We all wish our staffs could get longer.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm extremely, like, I just realized I'm sitting down. Like, I'm extremely glad I don't have a tail.
Oh yeah.
Like if I had a tail right now, I couldn't sit in this very comfortable lean back position I'm in. And roars all the time. Like he's always like the tail's in the way. You know?
I feel like, you know, you would just get a chair that has like a hole in the back, right?
Dirty, Brayton. You don't have to make it dirty. Filthy.
Just do one of those like Casino Royale torture chairs where you just rip out all the caning on the bottom. Yeah.
Do you think people with tails had to sit like guidance counselors all the time?
Oh, like
they always have to do the backwards Riker sit.
No, like... I think they've got some of those weird chairs. They're like kneeling chairs, you know?
Oh God, I hate those things.
Yeah.
They're really uncomfortable. So maybe part of the reason why, like, I don't like Dragon Ball. Maybe the reason why I don't like that character is because he's never sat down comfortably in his entire life. That's... And he's only slept on his stomach. So he's constantly has back aches. Like he's never sat. He's never laid down comfortably.
Hmm.
His back is just like a nightmare.
I mean, canonically, Goku sleeps in a sex wing, so.
Yeah. Is he really?
No.
Oh, well, I mean, he could sleep in a real swing, and I just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've ever shown Goku sleeping, so.
No, all the time. Like, that's his whole thing. He likes to sleep, and he likes to eat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I watched Dragon Ball Z, and, like, the first, like, 3,000 episodes are just, like, him riding in a spaceship to a planet.
Yep.
Pacing is not the, I mean, for all things about the dreaded A word, pacing is not the strength. Pretty inarguable. Like we've talked about like filler seasons and stuff before. Like it's not like a well-paced medium.
No.
We're not a quickly paced medium. I'll say that to stave off the angry torchbearers.
I mean, Dragon Ball like infamously has whole episodes where people just like scream and glow.
Yeah, it is a infamously poorly paced cartoon
to the point where they released a whole set, like a whole other series that is like revised but quicker.
Yeah.
Like where they took, where they take all the shit out.
We got rid of 90% of the plot. And now.
Yeah. And it's also a weird thing too, because my understanding is it's like it started out as a comedy thing that's kind of pervy and then became a non-pervy thing that is not funny.
Right.
So like a transition to an action thing that's about charging, but initially like it's, you know, apparently supposed to be pretty funny, but then you also have the quest for Bulma's panties constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not, you know, not obviously not my favorite thing.
Yeah, Master Roshi doing his
old man thing. Yeah.
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 I'm sorry, I have Steam open and Nick just started playing Dragon Ball FighterZ.
It's a fun game. It's kind of like Bloody Roar. It's like a simple fighting game.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Nick is into it because Nick likes really complicated fighting games.
Right.
Like simplicity is not a draw for Nick.
No, no.
It actually makes me think, just because I want an excuse, we could actually do this for Wolf, so I'm not going to do it, but just, and we don't have to bleep it out or anything because it's not on the schedule. Next time we have a free spot, we just have one game to do. Let's do Bushido Blade.
Yeah, that would be very
like,
good.
Bushido Blade owns. Like that's like, you know, just to move this away from the dreaded anime, like as far as fighting games go, like, man, Bushido Blade's really good and it's super simple.
Yep. I'd be way down for that. I love a fighting game you can win in the first move.
It's so good. So I watched a video about it, like a retrospective thing. And one of the things they said is like, it's an awesome party game. Like if you just have it on, you know, at a party, because you can like that. So you rapidly iterate so much. And if you don't win, if you just cripple somebody and they kind of walk around limping, like it gets really intense, like two fighters kind of like doing spacing where like all of them have broken limbs and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bushido Blade owns.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
So. And that'd be a good live show episode too, actually.
Oh shit.
I mean, I don't know where we do it, but Bushido Blade would own, because have you seen, if we got two TVs and two PlayStations or two computers, they have the first person mode.
Oh yeah. Yep.
It's oh, unplayable, really? But it's amazing. Yeah. Head to head first person Bushido Blade.
Oh jeez.
it's less good than it sounds as far as actually good to play. Funnier than it sounds.
Oh, of course.
Or that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I had fun with Bloody Roar. It was fun to go back to this era and play something that is not like exemplary. Like just, you never really hear people talk about this besides Brayton.
Yeah, just me all the time actually.
No.
We just came from brunch and he wouldn't shut the fuck up about it.
And you know, to Gary's point, we also like at brunch we played games where most of us played like Beastmen. Like I played a wolf based Beastman. Someone else played a sow based beast person. Another one was a frogman.
Yeah, that's the weird. It's a Iron Kingdom based board game, and that's the weird side of Iron Kingdoms, because there's also that Iron Kingdom Unleashed expansion. Like Iron Kingdoms is like, you know, really tactical Warhammer stuff, but then it has this whole animal hybrid side thing. So it's strange.
We just can't get enough beasts today.
No,
we're also fighting Beastman. Like it wasn't like, you know, it was just like it's oops all Beastman, you know.
Yeah, Beastman, except for Beastman. You were the one human.
I was the one human and I was a fucking untouchable man. Yeah, I had that. It was because I was a
yeah. So there's not a lot of game facts gold for this, really. There was one topic on the message board that has a title, Awesome Game, and then I was about to say everybody. It's just one person over and over again. starts out Marilyn Monroe, so just with a sad smiley face, and then a little bit later, iconic sad smiley face, and then Marilyn Monroe again. A little bit later, underrated gem, sad smiley face.
Wow.
Like she's mourning.
Yeah.
I feel like, like it's setting up like a weird honey trap where like she's just waiting for someone to respond and then release a virus. Like,
or just like release a torrent of self-pity and like unexpected emotional labor, you know, like they just kind of like, you know, oh, it must be nice to like Bloody Roar. I wish I could be happy about something. And just like wanting somebody to ask you about why you're sad.
And nobody likes the things that I like. It's real bummer.
Yeah. I came over here from the Killer Instinct board. How come nobody likes it?
Everybody's just talking about Jago all the time.
Fucking Jago.
Oh, he's not even Ninjago.
Yeah. Did you see the Lego Ninjago movie? Right.
No, I have not. I have not seen it, but I was really excited about it because I know that like Jackie Chan, like studio or whatever, they did the fight choreography for it. So it seemed like it would be pretty fun for that, at least.
I should like to see that.
Can one of you define for me what is a Ninjago?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a Lego set where it's kind of like a weirdly ninja steampunk based set. It's mostly ninja stuff, but then they recently got into like there's giant mechs and, you know, like big robot ships and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the movie is following the like main storyline, but with like, you know, a lot of fancy acting and whatnot.
Yeah. I like the cast of the movie. Jackie Chan, Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
Zach Woods is in there.
Yeah. Those movies are funny. Like the Batman one is one of my faves. Like I think that's hilarious and good. Like legitimately laughed out loud a lot during that movie. Like I think that's a really great comedy.
Yeah, I need to go for that then. Because that has what, Zach Galifianakis as the Joker?
Will Arnett as Batman.
Mm.
In like the defining Will Arnett of our times right now. Yeah. Compared to
Who plays Robin? What is his name? Michael Cera plays Robin.
Yeah.
And he's very Michael Cera the whole time, and it's perfect.
Yeah. It's very well cast. And it's real good for like if you like comic books, you'll see a bunch of comic book shit. And if you don't care about comics or don't know anything about Batman, it's still very funny.
Yeah.
So I like that movie quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see that. And I like the actual Lego movie, as much as that was years old and is now like, I don't know if there's been a backlash or something. People don't like that movie now, but I think that movie is great.
They're absolutely
good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that movie is really funny. So
yeah.
The into Legos. Hey, Lego Bloody Roar. I think that'd be cool. Add parts to make them into beasts.
You know, I have like probably enough parts to make that.
do you have, let's buy you the license.
Yeah.
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 I don't know if I can make a mole person, but I definitely like I have a werewolf and I've got a bunny person and there's a gorilla suit guy. I think I have. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's extremely cool.
Yeah. No, you're like halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that might be everything I got for Bloody Roar, though.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I wanted to add last minute, just to throw everybody crazy, if they weren't following the story, Yuriko, the end boss / were chimera, is actually Mitsuko's daughter and Alice's cousin. And then later she gets cured and comes back as a cat beast person in like Bloody Roar 2. So there you
go.
Yeah.
Wow. Quite the story.
Yeah.
It's a real hero's journey.
I know that you're not doing this, Brayden, but like, I'm trying to imagine that people get really invested in this lore.
Yeah,
and do they are they really like all lore is good lore? Like it doesn't matter if anything, you know, it's just something that happens and that's enough to get me interested.
Yeah.
You know, like what is, you know, if it's just like, oh, the somebody turns out to be the daughter of a main character. And like, that's such a hoary trope, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have these characters who have no lines really, mm-hmm. you know, them exclusively from their designs and battle taunts. And if you like, there are people who are invested in this though. I've like read through the TV tropes thing. And of course it has people, you know, crying when bad things happen to characters in this and stuff. Like it's just all lore is good lore. Like if this has a story, that means the story is good and I am invested.
Yeah.
I don't know. My hope is that like by Bloody Roar 3, the story got like really good and like you just go back and look at the other
one
to see where you're at. That's my like secret hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even the best example of this, like, you know, I have a lot of affection for Soul Calibur. Like enough people care about Soul Calibur's story that like who ended up with the Soul Blade at the end of each one is considered to be canonical. Like enough people care that they actually work on keeping that straight. Right. But I have no investment in that.
I don't really understand how people get invested in stories that don't have words. You know, if the total word count for the narrative of Bloody Roar is like generously 175 words,
right.
You know, or something like that. Like it is beyond microfiction. It's a blog post, you know, or it's like part of a blog post.
It's a tweet, and it only just became a tweet because they went to 280.
Yeah, it's two tweets. Yeah. Like is the character is the story that we're looking at, and just, you know, people who can round up so drastically from character designs, you know, just like I know this character is this. I feel this really strong attachment to them. They have X, Y, and Z personality traits, like, and it's all coming from the player. Like they're doing all of this rounding up, and like. if that means that they enjoy it more, that's great. Like, good for them. Yeah. They enjoy something that I don't enjoy, and that they are a bit happier than I am about it. But I can't relate to it. You know, yeah, and it happens with everything. Like, literally every, we were talking about Killer Instinct. I guarantee there are people who are really invested in the Killer Instinct characters and narrative.
Yeah. I think you feel that for sure. And like, it evolves, I guess, enough over like the course of Street Fighter 2 and the like 7 releases of Street Fighter 2. But like, it is really just like Ryo is quiet and punches people. And then like you get his, and then you have to develop a personality off of that because that's your guy, right?
Lenny White, yeah. Carl Black, Ryu punch.
Yeah. 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 I'm tired of these jokes about my gigantic, Dalsium-esque hand. It's just always been a fascinating thing to me.
I'd be curious to like hear somebody who's really into it hear why, and then hear how much of that is actually based on the text that is there, right? I did a search on TV tropes for both Killer Instinct and Bloody Roar, because like sometimes they have like fan fiction stubs. They'll allude to some of that. Neither of them have that, whereas like other big fighting games, I guarantee you do.
Does Bloody Roar have a wild mass guessing where people are?
It takes place in the universe of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, that's good at least.
The Doctor totally teams up with Gatto, and they.
There's a Bloody Roar manga, so that might be where some of the text is coming from too.
Okay.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me, right? Yeah. Like, I understand there's extended universes to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then it ends up making sense. But it just, I always tend to think of it as being the text on its own,
right,
as opposed to having to get the supplemental stuff. And it always kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same thing with Street Fighter. Like, Street Fighter had, like, an anime and things like that and a movie and all that jazz. So that's how people got into it. So, anywho, Bloody Roar.
Bloody Roar. Thanks, Brayden.
Brayden, thank you.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Generous donation and your time.
Thank you for letting me come out here and talk about a game I'm good at for once.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you again in a year for Def Jam Fight for New York. Yeah. We already did, I think, but we can do the sequel to it.
We definitely didn't do that for this show.
Def Jam Icon is terrible.
I know that's, oh no, we played that for Duckstream, that's what I'm thinking of. Last year, because I know that that's one of your numbers as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Def Jam Fight for New York, a game that I checked out from GameStop and he just like borrowed it because Henry Rollins has a voice part in it.
Yeah, his voice part, which is like, thanks for coming to the gym.
get in the van, get in my hands. Yeah. Mr. Rollins, yeah,
you gotta work out.
Yeah, I would like an updated Def Jam Fight for New York. I mean, we can save that for the inevitable Def Jam Fight for New York episode, but like, I would love a modern version of that.
Yeah.
Mostly because I want to play Killer Mike and just have him crumble up people and throw them in the fucking trash.
Yeah.
Like a rejected manuscript. Yeah.
His finishing moves, he dresses up as Santa and takes pictures with the kids.
Yeah, with your kids.
Yeah.
My fist to your face is fucking Folgers. If you like the show,
Brayden, where can people find you?
Probably just checking out Teenage Dirtbags is the best way to listen to me talk about things. Okay. Teenage Dirtbags, a podcast I do with Gary, of course, on this network, about music videos mostly.
If you were baffled by the jokes about Seven Mary Three or Bones Thugs and Harmony, shame on you. Listen to that show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, coming back, that Teenage Dirtbags. So give it a little bit of time. It's on hiatus at the time recording, but it's coming back very soon.
Yeah.
If you like this show, you can support us at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can also write a review on iTunes. You can read some reviews on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can write a review anywhere that you see fit.
Yeah.
It is on the billboard, on the sidewalk.
Rent out 3 billboards outside of Billings, Montana.
You can rent it from Def Jam from a GameStop and then write the review on the inside and then bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah,
amazing. If you hear about the show because of that, please let us know.
Yeah.
There was a true story. I think I bought, what did I buy? Splinter Cell, I think, which is one of the, oh gosh, I can't remember that guy's name. Sorry. It's like a Tom Clancy sneaky game.
Yeah.
Anyway, I rented Splinter Cell, or I didn't rent it. I bought it used, and it had like an LA Kings symbol, like, or the Latin Kings symbol, like painted on the inside. And I was like, nice. Oh boy.
this game has been in the same room as Crimes.
Yeah. Like, I hope they don't change their mind and come after me because they want
your mark.
To be honest with you, I'll just give it to you. It's not that big of a deal to me.
it's like your No Country for Old Men moment. You find the duffel bag full of cash.
Yeah. Don't return that. That's your lucky copy of Splinter Cell.
Yeah, not like I hang on to it in case they come after me, and then I'm like, here. I just, like, it's fine. Just take it.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody. Just go, please.
Yeah. Javier Bardem, I love your work. Please don't murder me.
They base the character on me.
Oh man. If you want to see us perform live, by us I mean me and Gary, you can come to the Midwest Gaming Classic running from the weekend of April 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Oh yeah, baby.
It's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
That's gonna be real fun.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about Donkey Kong 94, aka Donkey Kong, just regular Donkey Kong for the Game Boy.
Yes. The one with all the puzzle levels and stuff.
Yeah, secret best Donkey Kong game.
Like, calling it 94 is just like confusing.
it's to stop people from thinking we're doing Mother 94. Yes. The year 1 year later update of the Danzig song. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. To tell your dog is not to come my way. To tell your children to come our way at the Midwest Gaming Classic.
Exactly. We'll be doing a meetup and the likes as well. We will talk about all that jazz soon. Yes. So watch social media, but come have a drink with us in a bar. Mm-hmm. Probably some kind of gamer related bar. Mm-hmm. We did one last year at a gamer related bar and it's pretty good.
Yes.
And we'll probably go back there and it was fun.
Those people
and,
are very nice.
Yeah, have a drink with us. We're not scary, I promise. Yeah, I think that's probably about it.
Think so. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm off to get some more surgeries to rehumanize myself.
Until next time, who is Chili Horse Dog? Dog?
Yeah, who is Chili Dog? Come on.
Hi.
Thanks, Braden.
Who is Zoanthrope?
Oh, way better.
Yeah. Damn it. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, we already said goodbye, though.
This will be post-roll. We have to.
Yeah, we just keep it going because it's very good.